You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. Welcome,
hey, Doug.
Welcome back. So this summer, my kids go to Six Flags a lot. And when it comes to amusement parks and some of the water parks, do you guys see many injuries?
We see more with the water parks than the amusement parks. You know, the rides have become pretty safe nowadays, or safer than they used to be at least. But water parks, we see more frequent injuries for a multitude of reasons.
So what are the most common injuries you see with the water parks?
Really, it's folks who are injured on slides. It could be, and I'm to say folks, it can be anybody from an adult to a kid, to be honest with you. But okay. Predominantly, it's younger children and teenagers where they're going down the slide and there's a pile up at the bottom, or they're going down the slide and there's a defect in the joint between the pipes, and somebody gets, you know, a big scrape, a long scrape that requires stitches or plastic surgery down the line. We see those. And sometimes we see injuries happening in wave pools with folks getting bounced around a lot, and we see concussions, we see whiplash, all kinds of things, not necessarily caused by the waves themselves, but caused because of the patrons bumping up against one another, like, you know, bumper cars.
And I would think there wouldn't be a lot of drownings out there, but I know those wave pools can be pretty hectic.
Yeah, and you know, I was actually out at Six Flags with our daughter a couple weeks ago, and I noticed how really aggressive the lifeguards are in checking all the time and really doing a great job of scanning. I was pretty impressed all over that wave pool to make sure that doesn't happen, because you're right, it's very chaotic in there. It's a huge wave pool. I mean, there's hundreds of people in there. It's fun, but it's recipe for potential injury.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a lifeguard there, because if you had to save somebody, that's a tough environment to swim through.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sea of high waves and a bunch of people.
When I would think with all the water, too, there's going to be some injuries of people slipping on the concrete, somebody trying to butt in line, hitting another patron.
That's another one, too. We've seen injuries, anything from kids waiting in line, walking up the stairs to go down those high tubes, those high slides. They'll walk up the stairs and they'll slip in the fall. Or we see kids getting out of the pools and then running quickly and slipping, even though the concrete has got a broom finish on it. You know, you'll still slide just because feet are wet and kids are running, even though they're not supposed to.
Well, and then the rougher it is to give you better traction when you do happen to fall, now you're going to lose some skin.
Or you're getting scraped, yeah. Yeah. And we get a lot of calls. Honestly, we turn down a lot of those cases for reasons that aren't because of the injuries, because there's potentially not liability there. But we see a lot of those.
Okay, and we talked about the roller coasters, so there really just aren't that many injuries with roller coasters anymore?
No, there really isn't. You know, when you do hear about them, obviously they're pretty significant.
They love to make the news with them.
They do, and I thought there was one a few weeks ago of somebody getting injured. I don't know if it was Six Flags, but it was a roller coaster, and the injury turned out to be a heart attack that had nothing to do with negligence of any kind. The rider just had a heart attack and passed away. So,
and that's going to happen.
Sure. I mean, look at these roller coasters nowadays that are doing 90 miles an hour.
You know? Right. Or Mr. Freeze doing, 120 or something?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a fast one.
I'm going to stay off that one.
Yeah, as we get older, I don't know if we need that adrenaline rush anymore,
right.
Do we?
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah. So it's good to hear that there's not as much liability. Now, what about there are a lot of carnivals over the summer?
That's
carnival rides, because I would think that has to be higher injury.
Actually, there is. You bring up a good point. So a lot of those, and I used to go to those when I was younger too. There was one in Kirkwood we went to. I remember.
Yeah, Parish Picnics all have carnivals there.
Yeah, and so that brings up two potential liability issues. Number one is wherever the grounds are that's hosting the carnival. So if it's a church, right, the church could potentially be liable, or the school. Sometimes they have them in school fields, right? So the school could be potentially on the risk there. But usually there's a contract between the hosting entity, like the church or school, and the actual amusement park, and that contract will dictate whose insurance is on the risk if somebody's hurt. But we do see injuries. We had an injury on the Scrambler. I don't know if you remember,
Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Scrambler.
So there was an injury on that we saw a few years back at a local school, and we had to pursue that. But it really just depends on what that contract says. And we just have to look at that contract to determine that.
Well, and I would think, you know, two things I see about carnivals. One is that I'm sure they're going to have their own insurance policy, because I would think there's pretty high risk associated with it for their own employees and for the carnival itself. And then you're going to get a lower level of employee. I would think the carnies, of course, are not people that are highly respected for their intelligence.
Well, and I think, you know, you look at places like Six Flags that are national chains, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of screening, especially, you know, like I said, when I saw these lifeguards doing a really good job of scanning for potential injuries and people in distress. I don't know if the traveling carnivals do that same level of hiring and retention and screening. I really don't know, but I doubt it. You know?
I've had some relatives that were carnies, and I can pretty much tell you, no, I don't think they
really do. Okay. Well, there you go.
All right, so here's a funny carny story.
Go ahead.
So this was one of my first cousin of mine. Okay, they close the carnival down, and of course they're drinking after the carnival closes. Somehow he ends up laying down in the parking lot and passes out, and one of the other coworkers gets in his car and starts doing donuts around him.
Oh, no.
It runs over his skull.
No.
And crushes his skull. He lives. He's in the hospital. Okay, and this whole side of my family are, you know, pretty funny family members. I could tell many stories of them like this. So after a week or so, his skull just starts to like form back to normal shape, sort of. He's got all kinds of scars, but he couldn't talk, and he starts moving his hand, and they gave him a pen, and he wrote out, "This sucks." Because he's been in traction. That's he probably should have called you.
Again, I'm amazed you've survived to this point in time.
Well,
really,
it wasn't me, but that was, that family member. And
wow.
Well, when you talk about other liability, because that's somebody get hit by a car. Okay, we just saw the case downtown St. Louis, the hit and run. Somebody gets hit by a car and it killed him, didn't it?
Right. Yeah, it did. It did. I think he survived for a bit, but ended up passing away. Yep.
How does that work legally? And, you know, I guess there's surveillance footage sometimes.
Yeah, so you bring a great point. You know, even in simple car wreck cases that we handle, if they happen at intersections, I'll go to the gas station that is at that intersection. I'll ask them for their video surveillance footage, because in these days, just about every establishment has surveillance footage of some sort, because it's so inexpensive now, right? And so in the situation downtown St. Louis, I believe they released footage of the two vehicles that potentially shared some blame in hitting this man, and they released those to the public. And I don't know if the public has helped in determining who those cars belong to, but ultimately video surveillance footage is changing the way these cases are handled, because I think those two folks who ran away from the scene probably thought they weren't going to get caught, and I think they probably will. But as far as who's responsible, not who's responsible, but who pays the money. So if you're walking across a street and you're hit by a vehicle, your uninsured motorist coverage actually covers the injuries. Even though you're not in a car, you were hit by a vehicle. So it involves a vehicle, and your uninsured motorist coverage on your own automobile policy will apply.
That will cover you, not your homeowners.
That's correct. Now, that's assuming they don't find the person who hit you. Now, obviously, if they find the person who hit you, their own auto insurance is going to cover you. I'm only talking about hit and runs where you never locate the at-fault party. In that situation, your uninsured motorist coverage would apply, not your homeowners. That's correct.
Interesting. Okay, so and then if they do find them, their coverage will have to cover it.
Their coverage will have to cover it. And as we've spoke about in past, Doug, you know, if somebody else has insurance on their car and it's not enough, then your own underinsured coverage would help make up the difference. So in that situation, usually the injuries are pretty significant when it's car versus person, right? So if you're injured and I see leg fractures, we've had multiple fatalities involving pedestrian incidents, then you look to potential underinsured motorist coverage on your own auto policy to make up the difference.
Good stuff, man. That's I hate to ever be in these situations, and unfortunately for you, you have to deal with it all the time, because you see what happens when, you know, accidents just do happen. And if they are going to happen, then you better make sure that you're properly insured. And if it happens to you, you know there are damages that you need to get compensated for.
And I think there's really two takeaways from that. Number one is you really do need to make sure you have adequate insurance on the front end. And any of your listeners can call me anytime, and I'll go over their insurance policy with them over the phone and tell them whether or not they have enough insurance to protect them, because I cannot tell you how many times and it's at least once a week, where I'm talking to a client and I say, look, we only were able to locate $50,000 of coverage, and that's not near enough to compensate you, but that's all that's there, because you didn't carry underinsured motorist coverage. And I've had clients, they're distraught about it, and there's nothing we can do, because we're limited to what we're able to work with insurance coverages, unless a defendant has a lot of assets or owns a business. So I always recommend get adequate insurance on the front end, and I'm happy to help people out in determining whether or not they have proper coverage now.
So the best way for them to reach you, if for you to review their policy, is it best to call you or to...
So two ways. They can call us, or you know, remember the fours is our slogan, 314-444-4444. Or if they want to do something quickly and discreet, they can shoot me a snapshot of what's called their declarations page of their automobile policy, which is just that front page or two that shows all the limits of liability. They could attach that as a PDF and email it to me at Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at SchultzMyers.com, and then I can respond in minutes, and I can say, you know, this is what I'm thinking, this is what you need to do, you may have adequate coverage, I don't think you do, here's what, you know, I suggest, and it's a quick process, and it's, you know, informal and discreet.
That's a great offer for our listeners. I definitely want to encourage you, get your policy reviewed. He's helped me review mine, and you know, I was actually underinsured in a couple areas, and I've raised my policies since then. So definitely reach out, Stephen. You don't sell insurance, but you will help people make sure they're protected.
Let me just emphasize that. I have no affiliations with any insurance companies. I sue them all the time. I actually don't like them, and they don't like me. But in this situation, it's it's imperative to get adequate coverage on the front end. And I can tell you this, to get additional underinsured motorist coverage to protect you if somebody else hits you with not enough coverage is not very expensive. We're talking a couple bucks a month. People just don't understand that raising their limits from, let's say, 50,000 and underinsured to 100,000, which I think is a prudent thing to do, is going to cost not a lot. It's not going to cost much money.
Right.
It really isn't. So, and if it does, shop around. But that is an invaluable portion of coverage that you will use. Because let's face it, statistically, 80%+ of people in Missouri and Illinois and every state for that matter carry minimum coverage. And so if you're hit by that person and you're hurt badly, you better have underinsured coverage to make up the difference.
Well, and the more assets you have, too, the more coverage you better make sure you have.
From a liability standpoint, absolutely. You know, if you're looking to protect yourself from liability, having adequate excess coverage if you're a business owner or have assets is imperative. But I think even over and above that is making sure you're protected if you're hurt, because you have a lot more control over whether you're going to hurt somebody than whether somebody else is going to hurt you, right? So I think it's always good to make sure you're protected from other folks hurting you that you have no control over.
Right, so that addresses the insurance end. And then when it comes to the personal injury end, if you've been in a situation where you've been hurt, you know, I want to make sure that you keep Stephen's information handy, because it may not be today, it may be a week from now, it may be 6 months from now, you don't know. But if it does happen, you want to make sure that you're really well represented and at least get good advice on it.
I can't tell you how many people I talk to on a weekly basis, and I just give them free advice. And we're here to do that. You know, if you have something you need advice on, don't feel like you have to call us and you're going to write us a check. It doesn't work like that. We offer free consultations. They can be on the phone. They can be in our office. They can be at your home. They can be in a hospital room. I've gone everywhere. Airports. I've gone everywhere to give consultations. And that's all part of what we offer to your callers and to our potential clients and to just people in general.
Very good. Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. Your website, SchultzMyers.com. They can email you, said Stephen at SchultzMyers.com.
Yep, S-T-E-P-H-E-N at SchultzMyers.
Okay, and then if they want to call you, 314-444-4444.
Yep.
So, Stephen, great information. Listeners are going to glean a lot from this. They're going to be well protected, and they're going to make sure that they're going to reduce liability in their future.
Great.
All right, thanks, Stephen.
Thanks.
All right, so coming up, we're going to be talking to Debbie Smith, the program director for the Northeast Community Action Corporation. They're a down payment assistance company that's going to be helping first-time home buyers with down payment assistance money when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1.